WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Tang from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your hosts.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Begs that question. Too blind to see tomorrow. Too broke to beg or borrow. Young and stupid.
Left wide open.
Hearts are wasted.
Lives are broken.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archives. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lizzie Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night.
Let the good times roll.
Jabariza Babe just subscribed for 41 months. What do you call a monkey that loves Doritos? A chipmunk.
Thank you for 41 months. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live in chat. Thank you for joining us. And if you ever get us on Apple Podcasts, we are currently the number two. The Wild Talk Radio Network is. We are currently the number two podcast for quirky storytelling.
Let's go!
Whatever that means, chat. Whatever that means. But if you search us Wild Talk Radio on Apple Podcasts, quirky storytelling.
It means my tangents have gotten us to number two, baby. Let's go for number one.
And we're number seven in revealing discussion.
Oh, God. What does that mean?
Do with that whatever you will, Chad.
This is because I talked about it specifically last week, isn't it? That's what happened. The whole Braun Seth moment on Raw. That's oh, God.
It's what the Wild Talk Radio Network's been searched for the last 7 days. So, revealing discussions and quirky storytelling live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If you looked for that, welcome. We talk professional wrestling. The name is not what you think it is. Apologies. But hang out. You might like it. You might enjoy. So we have news, we have notes, and then we have Backlash, which is going to be this weekend.
Yes.
Saturday?
This Saturday. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Check your local time and availability in your area or wherever it streams, whether it's Peacock or Netflix. You find it. It's there. Go watch.
Ding! So we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show, but I said we jump right into the news. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And we're starting out with rather some sad news. WWE did their post-mania cuts. There were corporate and talent releases, unfortunately. So I'm just going to run through the talent releases first. Braun Strowman, Shayna Baszler, Dakota Kai, Caden Carter, Caitlin Chance, Cora Jade, which was surprising. Gigi Dolin, Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, Wolfgang, Eddie Thorpe, Riley Osborne, Oro Mensah, Jakara Jackson, Javier Bernal, and Danny Palmer. You're sad to see anybody get let go. That's an unfortunate thing, and hopefully they all can land on their feet and find their next opportunity. But some of these names are not too terribly surprising, and some kind of are.
Yeah, the Gallus boys, not really so much. Oro Mensah, not really. They broke up Metaphor, so Jakara Jackson, they kind of wrote her off television. Javier and Danny, they're just talent. The KCs, again, some of these are releases, some of these are, they aren't renewing contracts. It's like a weird thing. Like, Shayna's is a release. Some of the others could be just their contracts were coming up and they didn't want to renew. Shayna signed a new contract last year, so it's a little surprising, but with what they've not been doing with her and on television, kind of, it's not really.
I was going to say, she's been very hit or miss in terms of, like, getting on TV.
Yeah, and Shayna's really good, but again, some of it is you have to always look at what they have in NXT at the Performance Center, and they have a lot of women, and a lot of younger women, so sometimes you for someone like Shayna, it's like she's at the tail end of the career, not the start of the career. So it makes sense. She has a higher contract. They're going to balance the books and let her go. Braun Strowman, they're going to balance the books and let him go. Cora Jade is surprising, but she's the biggest surprise, I think, because they've seen stuff in her. And they were trying to push her with TNA and stuff.
Yeah, that was what was weird. It was like, saw her name come up and it's like, wait, what? Because they were like actively pushing her, like you said, they were actively doing things with her, and all of a sudden, so I wonder if maybe she just decided this wasn't for her, or if she was an actual release.
No, the way it seems, she was an actual release. But again,
Gigi Dolin wasn't
before moving to Gigi, injuries could also, you have to look at it and go, they see stuff and they know people's medical. And do they know that she may not bounce back right away fully from the knee injuries? So are they going to, if they don't see her, if they think injuries could play a big factor in progressing, why put in more time in it? But she can go out on her own and prove elsewhere that she's healthy and a fighter and wants to still do this. Or she'll do OnlyFans. Or both.
Yeah, I was gonna say, or she'll open an OnlyFans, which is perfectly valid. You get your money, girl.
You get your money. There's nothing wrong with it. You mentioned Gigi. She was a little surprising because there's always
they were like
she's always been pushed. But once they broke up, whatever the group was, Fatal Attraction, whatever the Mandy group was,
Fatal Attraction, yeah,
Fatal Attraction. They had something there, and they could have been a main roster act, and they never. Well, with it, Gigi also got hurt. That kind of does people in a little bit.
Well, I think with Gigi too, when they broke up the other two girls, like Gigi and the other one, I can't remember her name right now.
JC Jane,
thank you. When they broke them up as a tag team, because like Mandy left, and they still could have like kept Gigi and JC as a tag team, and they kind of did, and they were sort of pushing them, and then they broke them up to break Gigi out, or Gigi got hurt or something like that, and then JC went out on her own, and she did all the stuff with Thea Hale, and kind of went that direction, and then she had her own group for a while. I think she still does. Yeah. But, like, they had something with Gigi and JC, and they could have kept that going without Mandy. Because, obviously, Mandy was the draw. She was the star in the group, but Gigi and JC did have some chemistry and were working well together. They were also like, they weren't, I wouldn't say like actively pushing Gigi, but she was consistently on TV. She was that good, like, person if you need to throw her in her tag team or if you just need to throw her in her feud with somebody. She was there. Like, she was just that good hand to have. So it was a little bit surprising. Like, I think the big thing is, like, a lot of the names on this list, they hadn't been on TV for a while, so you understand.
Yeah.
I think the one...
Hold on. Before you get to it, forgot Shotzi as well. Because this was the list from Friday. I forgot to put Shotzi on the list. Because she was a later release or announced release. Because she's been teaming with Gigi, so that's, and Tatum Paxley is the one that of the trio, because it was Tatum, Gigi, and Shotzi kind of trying to form an act together, and it was kind of getting over. Gigi probably will not be going there. Dakota.
I mean, it all depends on if Darby comes back or not, because we have no idea if he's going to come back.
He'll be back. Dakota's the biggest surprise, but the way they kind of put it, it's like, it's unfortunate for her, because she's battled back and battled back and battled back. But maybe getting out of the WWE system and kind of going out on her own for a little bit will be good for her.
They finally were able to get something going with her, especially by putting her in Damage Control and having that evolution of Damage Control. Where she was with Io and Kari, and it was Dakota, and they had a really good run. And it was just unfortunate timing that Dakota had a series of injuries that kept her out. And I think they were just kind of like, we love you, we think you're fantastic. I don't know, I'm just assuming, but it's like, we just can't take the risk anymore. It's to a point where there is a level of unreliability there, and that's not on Dakota at all. It's like, injuries are injuries, but you don't know when she's going to get hurt. And she got hurt right in the middle of a relatively big feud, which again is not necessarily her fault, but it's kind of like, there is a dependability there that they need in order to be able to push somebody.
Yeah, and she might be healthy for the rest of her career. It's also, Damage Control was falling, was ending. Kyrie got hurt. Asuka got hurt. Io and Dakota were the only two people still hanging on together. And Io's being pushed on her own as a solo act. So right now, Dakota was in limbo and kind of made her expendable at this point, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. I think the worst for Braun, just because he's had so many health issues since he came back, like knee, back, you name it. Like, the poor man has just been like going through hell trying to rehabilitate himself to the point that he can be able to wrestle again. Cause that was like the big problem with him, right? Was like, his body just sort of was like, nope, we ain't doing this, nope. And he was like in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out with that kind of stuff. And so I feel awful for him because he went through all that. He's better for it now because I think he's finally healed. But like, to go through all that and then they're like, bye. That sucks.
It's unfortunate. But see, they bring people back all the time. So anyone could be back again. Who knows?
Anybody could be back again. That's true. Like, they brought him back, I think, right after Bray passed, right?
Yeah, well, no, Before Bray passed. He was back before. He was one of Hunter's returns, wasn't he?
Maybe.
I think he was one of the people who came back when Hunter took back over. But he also got hurt when Bray... He was hurt when Bray died. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he came back and for the salute. And then he was gone again. And he's been out, I think, ever since.
Yeah, he came back September 1st, 2022. So he was one of the first people Hunter brought back.
There you go. Makes me wonder if Casey's going back to American Ninja Warrior. Probably. But it depends. Like, I think it really depends on what she wants to do.
I didn't know that was still a thing, honestly.
If she can still do it and make money from it, you go, girl. Do your thing.
I more meant the TV show. I didn't know it was still being aired.
I have no idea. Because didn't somebody get, like, hurt on it? Badly injured?
Probably. Probably did.
I don't know. I have to look that up later. But anyway, best of luck to everybody on this list. May, like I said before, may you land safely, and may you land soundly, and may you find what you want to do next. Or your life's pursuit, or whatever makes you happy and fulfilled.
And apparently it's still on NBC.
There you go. So she could go back.
But more releases.
In addition... Huh?
More releases.
In addition to the talent, we have some corporate releases, which sucks. Christine Lubrano, who spent more than 4 years working as WWE's Senior Vice President of Creative Writing Operations, is no longer with the company. This one, to me, was really curious. Because it's like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Is somebody making moves in the company? Because, like, especially with all the creative writing that's been going on and the booking and how well it's been handled, you would think that the senior VP of creative writing ops wouldn't be let go, but here we are. So is somebody trying to move into the position? Did she, like, F up? Like, she pissed somebody off? Like, what happened there, I wonder?
Yeah.
In addition to Christine, Ryan Papola, hopefully I said that right, a former co-host of WWE's The Bump, was also reportedly let go by the company. And then in addition to him, a few video editors were also let go.
Yeah, a bunch of office staff was let go because they're consolidating stuff as they continue to do. Yeah, they're just going to continue that for a while. With The Bump shutting down, he's been a digital person, but he's most known for being on The Bump, and The Bump been canceled for a year. So, and they have Sam Roberts doing everything else. So
yeah, Sam Roberts kind of took over.
They put him in a digital space. So there you go.
So it's unfortunate for Ryan, but again, and everybody else, but hopefully they all land on their feet because layoffs suck. Nobody likes layoffs, especially in a tough job market. So best of luck, everybody. I salute you. On a happier note, Chelsea Green has signed a brand new contract with the company. So good for her. Congratulations.
Congrats to her.
Hopefully she got a pay bump.
Probably did. She's had a hell of a year.
She has. WWE ambassador Titus O'Neil is starring in a new dating series. Okay, I saw this. I kind of want to talk about this. He's starring in a new dating series set to premiere on Bravo this summer. O'Neil, former NBA player Carlos Boozer, and model Tyson Beckford have been revealed as the stars of Bravo's King's Court. The show, which will debut at 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, July 13th, features 21 single women, with each bachelor choosing one of them to be their queen at the end of this season.
Okay, then.
I have questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, like, what the fuck? In a good way, but not in a good way.
Reality TV is a weird market. I didn't know he was single, so him being on the dating show was...
I was surprised. I was like, I thought he was married, but apparently not.
Dad of the year, apparently not husband, so here we are.
Marriage is not a prerequisite to children.
Oh, I under that.
We don't know what happened there. No judgment.
No judgment, but like they kind of build them like it was like a thing, and I guess not.
Also, no offense, but poor Tyson Beckford. Mm-hmm. Remember when he was like the guy, like the it guy, way back when?
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn. All right. And one final happy story for WWE. No judgment. Big E is engaged, y'all. This is going to be the wedding to end all weddings. If you ever get an invite to one, this is the one you want to go to. Big E has announced that he is engaged to Chris Yim, Mia Yim's sister.
Yep,
I'm so happy for them.
Congrats to them.
So may they have a long, happy life together. Yes. Moving on to AEW, Dutch and Vincent are no longer with the company. They have left, as well as EJ and Duka. He is no longer with the company.
So they let go some people, too.
Dutch makes sense, because he was managing Swags.
No, not...
He? No.
No, you got the wrong person. That's... No.
Oh, wait.
This is the team, Dutch and Vincent. The whatever they're called.
Like the Dollar Store Bray Wyatt stuff?
Yes. Them.
Sorry, apologies. I saw the name Dutch and I'm like, Dutch Mantel?
No, not Dutch Mantel. No. No, no.
Took me a minute.
It begins with an R. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. But they're gone. And the Righteous. The Righteous.
There we go.
That's the
Righteous.
Act. The Righteous. So they're gone. And so is EJ. So every company lets go people. But one company gets a stink because there was a lot of them, and the other company only got rid of three.
But best of luck to them as they move forward. May they land on their feet and find their happiness in their life's pursuit.
Yes.
Because losing your job sucks. Darby Allin, God, this child, sets the world record for a kickflip at 20,958 feet while climbing Mount Everest. Are we sure he's going to come back? Are we positive on that one?
So far, so good. Okay. He's living his best life.
I mean, you know, okay, I'm just going to move on. AEW announced that at the 2300 Arena in Philly, it will host an exclusive multi-week residency. Ooh, you should go. Of Dynamite and Collision, marking the first time in history that AEW events have been held at the historic venue. These events are in addition to the previously announced ROH Death Before Dishonor event on Friday, September 5th. The residency dates are as follows. Wednesday, August 27th, AEW Dynamite. August 30th, AEW Collision. September 3rd, Dynamite. The 5th of September, ROH Death Before Dishonor. 6th of September, AEW Collision. September 10th, Dynamite. And on September 11th, a special taping of AEW Collision.
So last year they had the residency in the Texas Esports Stadium. This time around, they're coming to Philly at the ECW Arena.
You should totally go, even though it's in a shit part of town.
It's in a real shit part of town. Be safe for whoever goes.
Yes, please be safe. Please be careful.
It's a really shitty part of town. Jersey's going.
Be safe, be careful.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, there's other bad parts. But it's fine. That's going to be interesting. I would hope there's like a combo deal for tickets. Because that's a lot on the fan base. Pay for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different events.
There has to be packages. There just have to be.
Because, and that's going to be hard. And you're doing a lot of TV from one place. I don't know about that one. Seems like a lot, but we'll see.
I feel like with the residency in Dallas, it was a little bit more spread out. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. But this is a really, again, to your point, this is a really tight grouping. And
yeah, the residency last year was a lot of shows, but there was also a show in between sometimes. Dynamite was not there. It was Collision and ROH that were there. This time they're bringing Dynamite there. Couple times, and that's coming off of when they're going to be coming back from overseas for the London Forbidden Door. So
it's not a big building, so they may not have problems getting people in there, because depending on who buys when for what show, they should have a pretty good crowd. It's just everybody wanting to go to everything. That's going to be expensive. And so I would hope that they offer some kind of like package for it.
I hope they do.
Where it's like, hey, if you pay this amount, you get all of these events and you get your seating, you know, confirmed or whatever. Because was it Death Before Dishonor that they were offering like ticket packages
Yeah, they offer a bunch of ticket packages like that. Yeah.
So we'll see. Like, hopefully they try to help people out. If not, I'm sure they won't have trouble getting people in there. Because, like I said, it's not a big building. If you've ever been in it, it's not huge. Now, granted, I haven't been in it since they fixed it up. But I don't think it's any bigger since before or after. I don't think they added space at all. But I could be wrong. So, yeah. That is the news. Brent didn't hurt anybody this week. That's good. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Backlash, which is this Saturday, live on the Peacocks or the Netflixes, depending on what you have. So, you'll see the rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. with the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Giving sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you anyway we can get you. And with that, we are back to talk all about WWE Backlash, which will be this coming Saturday night. For those listening to the archive, that will be the 10th of May. It will be live on the Peacocks and on the Netflixes. Check online for availability times, all that good happy stuff, because we don't do time zones here, because I can't do math. Anyway, we have a 5-match card. It was kind of funny because Rock and I were talking about this one before the show started, because like Monday Night Raw didn't feel like a go-home to me at all. Like, it was a good show. It was a really very good show. It just didn't feel like a go-home because the main story for the show is on SmackDown. It's not on Raw. So they're doing what they can for Raw to make it feel like hype for the pay-per-view. But obviously, the story that everybody is talking about is the main event, which will be John Cena and Randy Orton. We'll get to that in a minute. But any initial thoughts before we dive in?
The most intriguing match on the show is Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyria. Because that's the one match.
Really?
Yes. Because that's the one match without the match could go either way. Everything
this is
else,
very true.
Everything else, you kind of, for the most part, the Intercontinental title match with Dom and Penta could go either way, but in general, I think it's pretty obvious who's going to win what match on this show. But Lyra, Becky have two different possibilities. We'll talk about Pat and Gunther in a second. Actually, let's start there because I talked about the Gunther thing a couple weeks ago on WTR Sunday night, and this is before the internet had a wrestle vote and started giving out the spoilers of who they think's what's going to happen. But I've been talking about this for a while now. I think I even talked about it on the post show when it happened. Sticking up for the announcers need someone to stick up for them.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Goldberg. Goldberg's not going to cost Gunther the match. Gunther's going to beat Pat McAfee. That's how it is. Gunther's going to choke him out. And Goldberg may not be on this show. But Goldberg's coming to stand, to be the guy who stands up for the announcers, to stand up for Michael Cole, to stand up for Pat McAfee, to keep them out of harm's way, because he's going to stand up to the bully known as Gunther. Gunther tried to bully Goldberg before, verbally, back when Bad Blood it was. And now, Goldberg's been training. He's also been promised the last match. Goldberg, Gunther, is a match that's going to happen. I think it could happen. People say SummerSlam. Could. I would do it on a Saturday night's main event in July, but that's just me. There's also Saudi. Apparently, they moved up the Saudi show to end of June, maybe? Or end of July? There's one. Or I think it's end of June. There's one now. Maybe. That hasn't been. I think it's end of June. Yeah, I think it's Money in the Bank, a Saudi show, the women's show, and then we build the SummerSlam. I think that's. The next couple months are going to be really busy for we're going to be previewing a lot of shows and reviewing a bunch. So good summer content. Good summer content. But Goldberg Gunther is a match that's coming. And people say, that's just been started to talk about recently internally in WWE. It's been on the books for a while. It's what the plan is. So could I see Goldberg show up at Backlash? Yes. Would I? No. Okay. I'll get to that in a second. I would save Goldberg's return for not Backlash. I would save it for a Raw and have him show up soon, because he's got to do. Gunther has to do. There has to be a little bit, like one more little thing he has to do. He's go over the edge a little bit more to kind of provoke the Goldberg return. I think in my mind, you say Saudi would be the spot. Okay, I get it. Money wise, that would be the place to do it, but. If I'm Goldberg, I would say no to Saudi for the final match. Because if it's going to be his final match, do it in the States. So his family can be there. Friends can go to that show. That's why I would do it in the States rather than Saudi. Because if you're going out, you do it in front of your people, not overseas on the money show. If I'm Goldberg, I'm looking at it. That's how I would do it. But anyway. Gunther's going to beat the snot out of Pat McAfee. It should last 5 minutes. It will probably go 10. But Gunther's going to beat his ass. And that's what should happen.
You're going to be so mad at me.
You're picking Pat, aren't you?
Yeah. Because, okay, I agree with your theory. My only difficulty with it is that out of Everybody in the existence of professional wrestling, modern day, current, active, the one name, one person that doesn't come to mind in terms of like defending the announcers from a bully is Bill Goldberg. I'm sorry. It just, Steve Austin would do it before Goldberg would do it. Okay? Let's all be completely honest. Like, I can think of plenty of other names before Bill Goldberg. If that's the story they're going with, fine. But just based on everything we know about Goldberg, everything we hear about him, like, it just, it hurts my brain that it's like, that's what they're, of course Austin would be drunk, it's Austin. It just hurts my brain, right? That it's like, they're gonna have Bill Goldberg be the stand up guy, and he's gonna defend Michael Cole and Pat McAfee, yes. Neither of which who I believe he has a relationship with at all, right?
I think Cole,
like maybe Cole, but not McAfee.
But he's so standing. It's more so he's standing up to the bully.
I understand that, but in order to stand up to the bully, you have to have some level of connection, right? Or something. No, he was out of the NFL by the time Pat came in, I think.
Yeah, well, they're decades apart.
Yeah. But like, there has to be, just because it's Goldberg. Now, if it was like a Cody or face John Cena, and they're just like, I don't like you being a bully, and that makes sense, because it's like, they're the stand up, you know, I'm not going to take your guff kind of guys, right? Like, they're the good guys. Goldberg kind of sits on that tweener to sort of a dick line, right?
No. Like, no.
Yes. No. Yes.
Goldberg's good. Pure yes. goodness. No.
No, he's not. Stop it.
No, I'm not. Watch his career. That's Goldberg.
No.
Stand up guy. Okay. He's stand up guy. That's his career.
Okay. To me, that's how he comes across.
That's to you. But if you watch the character, he's stand up guy. Does the right thing all the time. That's Goldberg.
I'll take your word for it. Anyway. All that being said, I'm going to pick Pat to win. And here's why. Because you need something that makes Gunther snap, right? That, like you said, he needs to go over a line. He needs to cross it. Losing to Pat McAfee, the Ring General, losing to Pat McAfee, of all people, after he lost to Jey Uso and he lost the title, right? Like, he starts to have this slide. And it could be that he takes his eye off the prize for a second. It could be that somehow Cole potentially gets involved. There could be some level of shenanigans. But the point is that, yeah, exactly, New Jersey, exactly. Like, Gunther just slips up. And Pat either, like Jersey said, pull a roll up, or, you know, somehow Gunther ends up losing the match to Pat McAfee. And he is personally, Pat doesn't do anything except celebrate, but Gunther is personally humiliated by that fact that, you know, he's come out here and he cut that great promo on Monday night where he got up in Pat's face and Pat was right there with him. That, you know, and it's like, no, you're going to lose. I'm going to beat your ass because this is who I am. And then he loses, right? Like, Gunther loses. He just snaps and he beats the high holy shit out of Pat McAfee and possibly Michael Cole, but mainly Pat McAfee, to the point that, like, and I'm talking like Pat McAfee has to be stretchered out of the arena. Like, they have to, like, roll him out. That is the severity of how this goes. Blood is optional. Doesn't have to be there, but blood is optional. And then you just kind of have Gunther go on this rampage, right? Where he just, whether it's Pat, whether it's backstage crew, what have you, you have him kind of go on that rampage. You have him escalating in violence. And it's to the point that either Goldberg's like, I've had enough. I don't know how you get there. I don't know what the trigger would be for Goldberg. Or Goldberg shows up like Monday night after Pat has like utterly just Pat's been utterly destroyed. And Goldberg's like, yeah. So that wasn't cool. Or you suspend Gunther until like around SummerSlam. You take him off TV, you write him off TV. Again, this is all half-assed because I'm just coming up with the on fly.
I mean, you can't suspend him again because you just did it and you just brought him back after a week. You can't do that again.
Well, like I said, I'm just spitballing here. But you find a way to get it to, like, a U.S. event, whatever that schedule is. But more or less, you find a way to get Goldberg involved. You find a way to get Gunther and Goldberg together. And then you have the fight and you do the last match. And either... I don't know if Goldberg would go out on his back or not. I have no idea. We'll worry about that when we get there. But the point is that Pat McAfee serves as the catalyst for Gunther losing his shit and just going nuts and becoming more and more difficult to control. And it could be that he just starts running through people And he, you know, it's like he just goes after person after person after person after person. And Adam Pearce gets to the point where he's like, I don't know what to do with you because you're just destroying people. And it could be that, like, everybody is afraid of Gunther. Nobody wants to get in the ring with him because he's just absolutely incensed. He's humiliated. And Pat isn't there this whole time because he's hurt, right? Like, you write him off TV for a while. You have somebody else fill in. Whatever. But it's that loss, right? It's that burning loss. And maybe the trigger for Goldberg coming back is when McAfee comes back, Gunther goes for McAfee again. Because it's like, no, no, you humiliated me. You're going to pay for this. And that's when Goldberg's like, yeah, no, boy. No, we're not doing this. You're not going to do this again. You're not going to hurt him again. You're not going to go for the announcers again. And that's when he stands up to him. And then you go into the match and you go into the feud. But, like, it's that burning loss, that humiliation, because that would get brought up like every week, every time Gunther shows up on TV. It's Gunther lost to Pat McAfee. That will follow him the rest of his career. The internet will hate it. They will absolutely hate it. But I want to see it. I want to see it.
All right. One
because
thing
I feel like
one thing you can't write Pat McAfee. You can't really write Pat McAfee off television like that.
Why? He disappears every year for college football.
He has a radio show he has to do, so he's not going to be selling the injuries on the TV show, on his podcast. That's kind of...
Why not? Well, there's a difference between doing the podcast and there's a difference between playing to Raw every week. Like, it could be he could, like, in terms of the beating, like, he could sit there in a neck brace. Tony did it.
It could only go
Tony
so far.
Khan could do the draft in a neck brace. So can Pat McAfee can do a podcast. In a neck brace.
I'm just saying it's hard to write them off fully on off television like that. That's more the...
I understand that. And I respect that point. But it's... And maybe they don't. And maybe it's just Gunther keeps going for Pat until finally Goldberg's like, I've had enough and I'm going to stand up to you. But the point is that Pat is the catalyst for Gunther snapping. That's like the whole point of the story. And that sends Gunther off into a new direction. So...
You're going Pat. That's where we're going with.
Yeah, the point is, I'm going Pat, and Honor will be satisfied because Gunther will take Pat apart after the match, and so he'll still look like Gunther, right? Like, he'll recover almost instantaneously because he will just destroy. Well, that's why I'm saying it's like it's a roll-up, or it's like Gunther gets distracted, or it's not necessarily a what I would term clean win where Pat McAfee out-wrestles Gunther, because he'll never do that. But it's done in a way where it's just Gunther fucks up.
Okay.
He just takes his eye off the prize.
Okay. I don't think that...
Good.
Gunther shouldn't lose to Pat.
He shouldn't.
Because losses on Gunther mean something. And him losing to Pat would devalue Jay's win. Because they make a point of who Gunther loses to. He's lost to Sammy. He's lost to Jay. They make sure that's a fact that is known. And he's lost to Cody. All the losses matter. Pat's not a wrestler. Pat's here to get his ass kicked. Gunther wins. That's just my thought.
I mean, that's fair. It's all totally valid. That's not the right thing. Okay, let's go on the right string. Up next, we have...
Oh, we're not done yet.
Oh, that's right. We have to do the inanimate objects. I'm sorry.
You're going Pat. I'm going Gunther. The wheel's going.
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1, who is...
Wrestler 1 is Pat.
8-ball Gunther. Outlook good. So it's 50-50.
Oh, no. All right, up next, let's talk about Dominic Mysterio taking on Penta for the Intercontinental Championship and all the drama that's going on in this, because on Penta's side, we have Chad Gable and his El Grande Americano shenanigans going on. And then on Dominic's side, we have the whole Finn Balor situation and the Judgment Day situation and how Finn... doesn't really like that Dominic has that title.
He doesn't, but Finn helps Dom retain it because Finn wants to be the one to take it from Dom.
So you're saying Penta wins by DQ, or you're saying Dom beats Penta clean because...
No, Dom beats Penta with help from Finn because Finn wants to be the one to take it from him. And he's going to do it as a sign of showing a sign of good faith that, hey... we're all on the same page, so I'm going to be in your corner. I'll help you out. And I'll make sure you keep the title.
Go ahead, sorry.
That's all.
LeMann says, or does Americano interfere because of his ongoing feud with Penta? I mean, he could. He interfered on Monday. Or actually, well, no, they're the same person. I just don't know if Penta should keep losing. That's my only thing. I would rather see Penta win, even if it's by DQ, over Dom than Finn helping Dom pick up a win. Just because I feel like it does matter at this point with Penta what you do. And it's very clear that after this, Penta's likely going to go the Chad Gable route. So I can more agree with LeMans that like Gable interferes and Penta wins because of disqualification. I would say Finn, in a show of good faith, does try to help, in quotations, Dom, but either it doesn't go quite right or there's something that happens with it that kind of makes you question, well, yeah, I mean, he, you know, and you go, well, yeah, Finn tried, kinda, but he didn't do as much as he probably could have done or would have done in the past, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Penta wins via DQ. Dominic retains, but Penta wins via DQ.
Dom wins, straight up. 8-ball Penta, very doubtful. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Dom.
You're screwed. All right. We have Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, Damian Priest, and Drew McIntyre all vying for the men's WWE United States Championship with Jacob defending.
Jacob retains. It's going to be a good match.
This will be fun. This will be a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm with Rock on this one. Jacob retains. I don't see any reason to take it off of him, especially after he just won it at Mania.
Yeah, this is just a common. This is a double rematch match from WrestleMania. Jacob and LA Knight having a fight, and then Damian Drew one more time.
Is this the only return match from WrestleMania?
But it's not. It's technically not a return match. It's just two feuds colliding from WrestleMania.
Right, but this is the only WrestleMania feud that's continued on in a bastardized form. Like everything else is brand new, more or less.
Kind of,
which is unusual for Backlash, because normally it's just all WrestleMania rematches, and with this there are actually no straight up WrestleMania rematches, which is interesting.
Yeah,
good on him for that.
But no, Jacob's on the rise. Jacob retains. This one's very clear and obvious.
Yeah, we're both going Jacob.
8-ball Jacob. All signs point to yes. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Damn it, we're doomed, Jacob. My one shot at Wrestler 3 and I didn't get it.
And there was a Wrestler, Wrestler 4 too.
But it's Wrestler 3.
I know.
Lyra Valkyria, the Women's Intercontinental Champion, taking on Becky Lynch. God, I don't know.
That's why it says That's why I said it's the most intriguing, because you don't know. Because on one hand, Becky Lynch could obviously just take the belt and prove everyone wrong. Prove it, hey, look, I am the better woman and I'm going to take my belt and that's it. But Lyra beating Becky is a statement piece. It elevates her. It elevates the title. Because the main story is going to be Becky versus Bayley.
Could we see Bayley return?
We could see Bayley return. I think we could, but I think we're a couple weeks early on that. But we could. I think you need Bayley for this, because this bigger statement to drive someone like Becky over the edge is Lyra just beating her.
Yeah.
The idea behind this is to elevate Lyra. In the last 2 weeks, Lyra has held herself well on the mic against Becky. Becky is playing a very over-the-top version of herself. Very, very over-the-top, very, like, it's not comedic, but it's comedic.
It's comedic in a very strange.
It's like the cartoonish is the better way to put it.
A little like bit. her whole "I took out the trash" stuff from Monday night. It was like, are you okay? Are you all right? You good?
So she's playing it a little bit over the top, and to send her into a spiral a little bit more would be Lyra beating her. But I could also see Becky just Beckying the match and taking the belt and being like, this is mine, I'm better. And then you do Becky and Bayley for the Intercontinental title down the road. I think the better... I don't want it either, but that's an option that could come from it. I think Lyra should win, but I could see it going either way. But I'm going Lyra wins.
I feel like, especially since this is probably one of Becky's last real runs in the company. I think they're being very intentional about who they're having her work with, because despite her speech on Monday, I feel like Becky would want to help as many people as she could, especially on her way out, to help elevate talent.
Going to stop you for a second. Listen to everyone who's been released from WWE in all their interviews lately. The former Tegan Nox put over Becky fighting to have their match with us. Indy putting over Becky fighting for us, fighting for my match with her, fighting for my match with Tegan or Zaya. You listen to that and go, this is what she does. She fights to get people elevated because she knows she needs people to fight. The only way to have people to fight is by elevating them to her level to bring them up. That's what she fights for, to bring people up to her level so that it is not the same two people fighting on the top of the card. So she brings people up. So she knows the better idea is to put Lyra over at the end of the story. Whether it happens at Backlash or at the end of the story, Lyra's going to be the one standing tall from the feud. Because the only way the division thrives is by elevating people, which is why Liv Morgan's been elevated from feuding with Becky. And all these other people get elevated from feuding with Becky because they need people that could be up on her level so that she has people to fight. I'm going Lyra wins.
Okay, going back to that, I'm going to agree with that. I think Lyra wins. But yeah, I think the whole point and the whole intention of this run is to build people, to bring up that next generation of talent and have them ready to go. So when Becky steps out, they're left in a really good place, because let's all be completely honest, when she stepped out, there was a hole. There was a void that fell, that was felt. It wasn't too severe because you had some talent ready to go, like Rhea and a few others. But there wasn't, Becky's almost become what Charlotte is/was, which is you need a high-end feud. You need a big name to carry the feud. You pull out Becky and you throw Becky in and you have her do the feud because she's reliable. She's consistent. She's a big name. And everybody's going to benefit if she's in the feud, right? Like, that's sort of like what she's kind of become. She's that clutch person for them. And so, like, with this, it's they see something in Lyra. They have always seen something in Lyra. She kind of had a little bit of a rough start on the main roster, but they've kept, like, going with her. They made her the inaugural Intercontinental Champion for the women, which is really cool for her, which shows that they do have faith in her. And this is, I think, the test to see if they're really ready or she's really ready to go up to that next level, which would be the main title, right? It's very much like the women's U.S. title. It's that proving ground. It's to show whether you can handle yourself, you can handle the title, you can handle the spotlight, you can handle everything, right? Which is, I think, why they chose who they chose to put both these titles on, because they feel that both of these individuals, especially as the inaugural champions, can handle what they're doing, especially Chelsea. Like, good God, Chelsea. But like with Lyra, she's a little bit more unproven because she's a little bit more unknown. So this is, like, I think, the ultimate test for her with Becky. And so far, she has been holding her own. She's, like you said, she's been really good on the mic. The feud's been really hot. Becky's doing everything she can to make people hate her, but people are just not going to hate her. And I think we're just beyond that at this point. But you also have Lyra sort of playing that edge, right? Instead of being the mentee who's like weeping and crying about the fact that her mentor betrayed her, Lyra's like, go F yourself. Like her whole promo on Monday where she's like, you know, I did this. I've done this without you. You haven't been here. You know, the division's changed. People have moved on from you. Like that whole, it's not about you anymore. It's about me now. This is my time. Your time's done. Now it's mine. So I like that you're putting Lyra in that very strong position. And I feel like for this, it is the statement that she wins, that she retains. Like what I really want in my heart of hearts is I want her to retain. because if she loses to Becky, I feel like it hurts her more, and you have more of an uphill climb that she may or may not be able to overcome by the end of the feud, especially if the end game is Becky and Bayley, and that's where you're going to go with it. Like, just to me, it hurts Lyra more to lose the title to Becky than anything else. I want to see Lyra beat Becky as that sort of statement. Now, what happens between them after, whether Becky snaps, like, whatever. But it's Lyra proves her point. She beats Becky. And she's like, F off. This is mine. Like, she defends herself. She stands her ground. And Becky is sent packing. And then Becky has to kind of regroup, because then that could trigger Bayley coming back. And Bayley's like, hey, remember me? Yeah, let's fight. And Lyra goes off and does Lyra things, whatever she's going to do. But yeah, I'm going to go with Lyra. I feel like she's going to pick up the victory here.
Eight ball, Becky. I look good. Wheel.
Wrestler two.
Oh, it's going Becky. So we're split.
Yep.
All right. Our main event with this whole entire show is built around John Cena, the man who has promised to destroy wrestling or ruin wrestling, is taking on his good old frenemy, Randall Keith Orton, in a singles match for the undisputed WWE Championship. I hate so hard that I am looking forward to this, that I want to see this. I hate that so much.
Chin lock. Shoulder block. You can't see me. AA, no. RKO, yes. 1-2, no. AA, 1-2, oh no. RKO, miss. AA, John Cena wins. LOL. That's your match. LOL, John Cena wins.
I very much want Randy to put his working trunks on, which I think he will, because this is potentially the last time he ever gets to face Cena.
It is the last time. That's how they're promoting it. It is the last time.
Never say never, as we've been
wrestling. In this run, it's the last time.
Look, they said Rock and Cena were only going to go once, and it happened twice. So yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Yes, but that's different, because this actually has an end date. This has an end date. That didn't it.
That's fair, but still. I'm going to say potentially, just to cover my ass. So this is the potential last time Randy's ever going to face John in single. How about that? This is going to be very special to the both of them, because this is the last time. And so I think what we're going to get is something that we may have never seen from either of them before, which I'm very intrigued about. I don't expect this to be a barn burner. I don't expect this to be what I would term a 5-star match.
No, because Cena can't work a 5-star match.
Well, Cena's never been able to do a 5-star match. But,
no, but he could.
Point is.
No, he could. He actually could.
He now could.
Now he can.
But even when he was like the LOL Cena wins, he had the 5 moves of doom, and they wouldn't really let him turn loose. That's my point. Like, at height John Cena could never, like.
But really height John Cena could take bumps. This Cena can't.
That's true. Yes. So I don't expect any of that to occur. What I do expect, though, is some fantastic storytelling between these two. I expect kind of the culmination of their shared history. I expect, like, I expect more storytelling, more just, like, because it's a role reversal, right? It's a complete role reversal. And I even think Randy came out and said in a promo that he's like, this feels weird, man. I don't like this. Like, you're supposed to be the good guy, and I'm the bad guy. I don't like this. So, like, I expect that role reversal. Like, I think Brent's brought it up a couple times that Cena pulls out one of Randy's moves, and I think it happens a couple times, and Randy just kind of stands there, and he's like, right, we're going to do this. That's kind of what I expect from this. I don't feel like it's going to be terribly long.
No,
maybe 10, maybe 15 max.
It'll be 15 minutes. It will have a lot of stalling. It'll have a lot of showboating. It could go 20 based on that, just because you let the crowd just eat into it. But it will be fine. 30 minutes by the end with the entrances and everything. But Cena's winning. Chad brought up that Cody could come back. Like, there's talk of Cody making a surprise return. Well, once you've just said it, once you spoiled it on the internet, it's no longer a surprise return. So you could have, internet people, could have kept your mouth shut and actually left it a surprise. But instead,
I wouldn't have Cody.
No, but let me finish.
Yeah.
If you want it to be an actual surprise, keep it a surprise and don't let it, because you found out from your source that it's something could happen with Cody, now you just ruined it, because guess what? It's not a surprise if he shows up. It's now just speculated and thought about and people now want to see it. So when it doesn't happen, you kind of just killed it. So good job, internet. Continue.
I wouldn't have Cody come back in this just because what it is and what it means. I would let the two of them sort it out and work it out, because you can have Cody come back on SmackDown. You can have Cody come back at any point. But for this and what this is and what this is being promoted as, I would leave it as just Cena and Randy and let them do what they're going to do without really any external interference. Please, God, do not let Travis Scott show up. No offense to Travis Scott, but he takes 40 years to get to the ring.
He won't be there. If Cody shows up, it's afterwards to have a stare down with Cena. But
I don't want that.
You don't need it.
That's the thing. You don't need it. You really don't. You let John and Randy have that moment.
Yeah,
that's
what this is about.
You let them say goodbye to each other, essentially, even though they're still going to see each other, even though they're going to work together until a year, potentially. It's still, this is it. If they're true to their word, this is the very last time these two will ever wrestle in a WWE ring as active competitors. Add all those caveats on there. This is going to be something exceptionally special to the two of them. So mm-hmm. let them have that moment.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, let them have that moment. Let them say goodbye to their let their characters say goodbye to each other in this way. Mm-hmm. And let them do whatever they're going to do. And just everybody sit back and enjoy it. We all already understand what this is going to be, right? Like, we're all on the same page of what this is going to be. The question is now the storytelling and how they're going to do that. Because that's really the most intriguing part of this match. Like I said, it's the role reversal. It's Cena being the heel. It's Randy being the face. And it's weird. And it's uncomfortable. And I think that's why we all want to see it. Because in every iteration that we've ever seen this match, this pairing, it's always been reversed.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? What are they going to do? How are they going to figure this out? So that's really what I'm looking forward to in this match. But LOL, Cena wins.
A-ball Cena? Very doubtful.
And then they get it thrown into a tag team match with The Undertaker.
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2. Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
Okay. All right. Well, that's our Backlash review. You guys want to submit? You have until Saturday. You can submit via Twitter or on the Facebooks, right?
Yeah, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadio will be the thing to submit your picks for the show.
But we're done, so you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio Live. We're doing ChatGPT Says this week. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Backlash Monday. We'll be back with the Raw Post Show right after Monday Night Raw. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Rack to review Backlash. That Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use carrier code ROCKINTALK or
Lynn's M. Ward.
When you buy all the Star Wars stuff in the Fortnite app shop or Epic Games Store, why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. We will be streaming this weekend and it will be Genshin Impact because there is a brand new event/Archon Quest and we're going to be going through it. You can follow me on youtube.com/@SummaLynn's Ward, and you can follow me on TikTok @LynnsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi because his content is awesome and amazing. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week with our Backlash review. Till then, Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.